Hi everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 3 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by James Hoskins, who is a teacher, writer, and musician in Kansas City, Missouri. He teaches philosophy and science classes at a college prep high school, and he writes about the intersection of reason, faith, and culture at his blog, philologos.net, as well as writes for the online magazine, christandpopculture.com. James also has an MA in science and religion from Biola University. In the current issue of Volume 39, Number 1 of the Christian Research Journal, we inaugurate a new column called Postmodern Realities, after which this podcast gets its name. This column is written by millennials for millennials to specifically give younger Christians a voice in our pages. The Postmodern Realities column addresses primarily, but not exclusively, members of the millennial generation regarding Christian apologetics issues, both theological and cultural, as well as pop culture trends, including film, television, literature, and technology. James is our first author in this column and has written an article called Recovering the Lost Unity of Heart and Mind, which we're going to discuss today. James, it's good to have you on.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I really enjoyed your article, and it's really about recovering the lost unity of heart and mind, as the title says. So what's the difference between the two, between heart and mind, and how do they become separated?
Yeah, I think the difference is one that our culture makes. Our culture tends to define the heart as the center of our emotions, where faith resides, our intuitions and passions, etc. And our mind is the rational side of us, our reason, our logic, knowledge, science, and so forth. And I think they became separated really through a cultural narrative that many of us have accepted without realizing it. Narrative of human progress, this idea that the history of ideas is really a slow, gradual progress of human society shedding its superstition and growing in scientific knowledge. And so I would say through that story, it's built this tension, a false dichotomy, I would argue, between heart and mind. And then and many Christians have unfortunately accepted this idea, and poor teaching and theology adds to it. So it makes people feel like there's this tension between our emotions and our rational side of us, which there sometimes is through life experiences, but it doesn't have to be that way, I guess.
Do you think that Christians have struggled with this or have made this separation? It's more of something that's happened in modern times, or has this always been with the church?
I think it's more modern, since the Enlightenment and kind of an emphasis on reason and rationality and how Christians responded to some of the challenges of that era and some of the arguments that came out of it. I think this tension, there is some real tension that we sometimes feel between what happens to us in our life and what we believe. You know, it's hard to trust that God is good when bad things happen to us. So there is a real tension that we feel sometimes. But I think this false narrative that we've accepted has made this tension worse than it really is. And I think it's a more of a modern thing than in biblical times. I don't think this would have been as much of a concept.
So how would Scripture define heart and mind that's different than maybe how we see it as contemporary 21st century Christians?
Yeah, I don't think the Bible would make a sharp distinction between the two. You know, I'm not a biblical scholar, so I'm not reading scripture in original language, but, you know, from things I've read and studied, it seems like when the Bible uses the word heart, that it's referring to all of our being, including the rational side of us. So even though there are places where it says, you know, love Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and so forth, I think that's those distinctions are added for emphasis more than they are added for like a clear, you know, like philosophical discourse on what makes a human being. I think really the Bible would define us as a unity of emotions and rationality. And when it uses the word heart, usually I think it's referring to all of us, the rational side, the intuition, and so forth.
But since we are, as modern Christians, kind of make that divide more succinct than the Bible does, so we kind of look at it as heart or mind or emotions versus doctrine, how does that affect our spiritual life? It seems to me on the mind side that sometimes when you talk to people about doctrine, they can interpret that as being something that's sterile or an intellectual exercise.
Yeah, I think so. I think the definition is really more cultural, and when we make the mistake of accepting that, I think it can affect our spiritual life. You know, I heard philosopher Stephen Meyer use this phrase. He said, "The heart cannot exult in what the mind rejects." And I don't think that's original to him, because I've read it in other places too. But basically saying, you know, if our mind rejects something as not being true, then our heart can't fully exult in it, can't take joy in it and worship it. So false beliefs, poor reasoning, bad theology, those things can really affect our joy and our relationship with God. They can block how much we can experience. But there's the other side, where the condition of our heart also affects what we are willing to believe. So the mind cannot assent to what the heart rejects. So if someone has just a deep emotional rejection of a certain idea of God, then they're unlikely to accept that view or assent to that a belief that God is like that, because they don't want him to be like that. So I do think that there is an unfortunate dichotomy that we accept sometimes that does affect our spiritual life. People, you know, shunning theology as this sterile study that you know can actually hurt your relationship with Jesus if you let it. Which it is true that you can study theology and be well educated in it and not have a relationship with Jesus, but that doesn't mean that studying theology hurts your relationship with Jesus. So yeah, I think it can affect our spiritual life if we're not careful.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is James Hoskins, who has written an article for the volume 39, number 1 issue of the Christian Research Journal in our Postmodern Realities column called Recovering the Lost Unity of Heart and Mind. This is a must-read article, so you need to subscribe to the journal, and a 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe, go online to equip.org. We were just talking about just how a division in our views of heart and mind can affect our spiritual life. How do you think that this this view can affect our apologetics? And does it have any kind of apologetic value for Christians?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, I think I've talked to a lot of people, both Christians and non-Christians, that have an aversion to apologetics, and they see it as part of that sterile, logical study, intellectual study that doesn't affect their real life experiences, that doesn't affect their heart and emotions. And so I think apologists have kind of missed out on a lot of impact they could make by taking a hyper-rational approach to apologetics. And by taking a more holistic approach that addresses both heart and mind, I think it can have great apologetic value in showing that Christianity is not only true on an intellectual level, but it's also beautiful, and it can make a person whole to where they don't feel this, you know, nagging dissonance in their being somewhere between their emotions and their intellect. They don't have to shut off their intellect to live life by their emotions, or the other side, they don't have to kind of cut their heart out to live by these intellectual beliefs, but it can be unified in Christianity. And I don't think any other worldview provides a way for a human being to feel whole in the way that Christianity and the gospel does. So if an apologist can show that in an eloquent way, I think there's great apologetic value there.
So what is a way in which we can do that practically in terms of showing the beauty of Christianity while addressing some people's questions about our faith?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we have to always try to connect. I think we can't water down the intellectual side. I think we should show that Christianity is true, and we should show it with the greatest intellectual rigor that we can. But I think we should always try to connect it to real life to show how this affects the way that we live and how it affects the meaning we take from life, the joy we have in it. And I think really connecting it to the gospel, you know, sometimes it's easy for apologists to get caught up on, you know, trying to show the rationality of God's existence, believing in God is rational or something like that. And they sometimes forget to connect it to the gospel. And I know you can't always do that in every forum, so I'm not blaming people for that. But I think looking for opportunities where you can always connect it to the gospel and how the gospel saves us and makes us better people and makes life more enjoyable. I think somebody who does a really good job of what I'm talking about is Tim Keller. And he, in a lot of his arguments that he gives, seem to address the intellectual side as well as the emotional.
So what would it look like for a believer to have more of a unified view of heart and mind? How do we kind of correct ourselves from being an extreme on one side or the other, being too rational or too philosophical and theological versus too emotive? How do we have that unified view?
Yeah, I think we have to remember that the purpose of truth is relationship. You know, we serve a God whose very nature is relational, is triune. And so if our, you know, arguing and debating with people is hurting the relationship, I think that should be kind of a red flag that maybe we're putting too much emphasis on the intellectual side. And I would say on the flip side, if our emotions are requiring us to dismiss intellectual questions as silly or wrong, then that's probably that shows a fear of truth, and we should never fear truth or facts or anything like that. There's nothing to fear from the truth, and we should love the pursuit of truth and seek for ways in which the truth can help us grow in intimacy and friendship with people around us and to love people better. So I think somebody who is growing in their heart and mind being unified, you know, they're not going to feel as much of the nagging dissonance in their being between their beliefs and their life experiences. They won't have to compartmentalize their faith. They'll be able to feel at rest. It will be well with their soul, I guess you could say. And I think everybody wants that. I want that.
One thing I like about the article is you mention your own personal story and as regards to this topic. So can you share some of it with us? Just how has this particular issue of heart and mind connected with your own personal life?
Sure. Yeah, this topic is very personal to me. I grew up in a Pentecostal church where my dad's a pastor in the Midwest, and so it was a world of very much heart, passionate emotional expression and music, and I loved it, really. I'm not complaining about that at all. But I also went to public school, and so I would say that the kind of tension started there, where I would go to public school and kind of be taught one thing about the world, and at Sunday school I'd be taught something else, and in both places I just sort of nodded my head in agreement and kind of had learned to compartmentalize what I was taught in each place, and I was never really given a way to figure out how they reconcile or to unify them. And then after high school, I became a working musician, felt like that was my calling, and so I was in a band that toured for a while, and I didn't go to college right away. But during that time, I was kind of immersed in this world of heart and emotional expression of the music world. These nagging questions came back to me, these intellectual questions that I couldn't answer, why does God allow bad things to happen? And what about the fossil record? How does that fit with the Bible and all this stuff, And so I kind of started a personal study, and it was for the first time started to read people like C.S. Lewis, and my mind just awakened, and then I had this voracious appetite for Christian philosophy and apologetics, and I just couldn't get enough of it, and I felt God changing my path to go study philosophy, and so I did, and then I was immersed in the world of the mind, and so I feel like almost my whole life has been this journey to try to harmonize the two, and so this topic is, it's very personal to me.
So, since you're on this journey, is there one side or the other that you tend to err on, heart or mind? I know for myself that my growing up experience is very different than yours, and so I would say that I tend to err on the side of the mind. I just always had very intellectual discussions in the household that I grew up in, and as it related to faith and doctrine, and was really immersed in that even as a high school student. So I would tend to err on that side.
Yeah. It probably depends on the day for me. Sometimes I err on the heart, catch myself erring on the heart, and sometimes on the mind. I think earlier in life it was heart, and then the more I got into education, it's been the mind, and now it's, a constant battle and prayer to balance and harmonize and unify the two, which it's getting better, but I think it depends on the day.
Since you're a teacher in high school, do you see this issue of the dichotomy of the heart and mind played out with your students? I mean, how does that affect them?
Yeah, I do. At the school where I teach, we try to take a holistic approach and teach from a Christian worldview every subject. And sometimes I'll notice, when families come to the school, they think they're a Christian education is like no different than perhaps at a public school, just with like a devotional every once in a while, or with like a weekly chapel or something like that. So they almost implicitly see the mind as like the education part, and then the heart is this little devotional thing that gets slapped on top of it, this kind of veneer of Christianity over otherwise secular education. And so I'll see that come out in the students. We may be in a science class and talk about the laws of nature and how they mirror the attributes of God. And, there'll be a student or two that'll be like, what does this have to do with science? And I'm like, well, everything actually, because this is what the earliest modern scientists, were basing their whole conception of the universe on, Galileo and Newton, et cetera. So I do see that the dichotomy come up, it's usually not, clear. It's more kind of an underlying assumption that there is this dichotomy. Sometimes I'll see, people, kind of err on the side of mind. They want this education that's just, their kid getting a bunch of information with a little devotional time. And then I'll see some err on the other side where they want all of the devotional learning about Jesus and worship, and then they don't really want to learn much facts or knowledge, and they might even be a little bit of afraid of it, especially in regards to science, because there's such this fear that science is somehow opposed to the Bible and so forth. So yeah, I definitely see this dichotomy played out in education, even though it's usually kind of an underlying assumption.
So what do you think that churches and, like you were just talking about, Christian school can do to help cultivate more of this unity of heart and mind, especially with the students? Because as they go off to college, sometimes, their faith is extremely challenged. And so they might be like you, asking those questions when you were in school, like, what about science and how does that relate to the Bible and so forth? So how can Christian schools and churches be more proactive with the next generation on this issue?
Yeah, I think that, for churches, I would say, I think pastors could probably try to make their sermons, write their sermons with the idea in mind that probably not everyone in the service is a believer, and maybe write some of their sermons with a little apologetics included. From the perspective of like, well, if somebody was skeptical of what I'm saying, how could I give them some reasons as well as show them the gospel, give them some reasons for believing it, some intellectual ones. So I think, churches could definitely not water down the intellectual side of their teaching for people that may be seeking or non-believers, but also for the believers, I think there needs to be more rigorous doctrine taught. It's amazing how, I'll use myself as an example, to grow up in the church and some pretty basic doctrines go away not even really knowing them, I feel like that many churches could improve their teaching of Christians so that Christians know what they believe in the doctrines of the Bible and so forth. I also think that in some churches there might be like a fear of emotion. Like the churches where I grew up, it was all about emotion. It was more like a fear of intellectual things. But there are other churches where it's more the fear of emotion, and we don't want to slide into emotionalism. So any thing that could make people feel passionate or emotional about God is kind of, cautioned against. And so maybe some churches could loosen up there. I think even including some of the latest like scientific discoveries, learning about those at church. I mean, taking a more holistic approach that, God and Christianity encompasses all of knowledge. And any true knowledge that we learn, we can rejoice over and thank God for, because it reveals Him, instead of having this kind of suspicion towards acquiring knowledge as though doing that can somehow, hurt our relationship with God or whatever. And with Christian schools, I definitely think just teaching critical thinking, because I think a lot of the unnecessary suspicion Christians have towards science and intellectual pursuits is really because there's a lack of critical thinking. We need to help students learn how to distinguish between a fact and a theory, and be able to point out the assumptions behind the theory and then evaluate whether those assumptions are reasonable or not. And so we don't have to be afraid of facts. We can accept facts that science discovers and maybe question the assumption behind the theory or something like that. But that being able to do that requires being able to think critically and to think well. And so I think more Christian schools need to teach that, maybe have logic classes and so forth.
Well, finally, I want to end with some rapid-fire questions for James. Where is the farthest you've ever traveled?
Oh, boy. Farthest I've ever traveled would have to be Italy.
Cereal or bacon and eggs?
Oh, definitely bacon and eggs.
And you mentioned you're a musician. So what musical instrument or instruments do you play?
I play the guitar and sing, and then I can fake it as a drummer or bassist if needed.
What kind of music do you have on rotation on your iPod? Or is there any kind of music you want to recommend to our listeners?
Right now, I've been listening to some Sufjan Stevens, a band called Lord Huron, a band called Real Estate. That's all I can think of at the moment.
Well, thanks so much, James, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Oh, I've loved it. Thanks for having me.
James has written an article for the Christian Research Journal in our brand new Postmodern Realities column called Recovering the Lost Unity of Heart and Mind, and you want to read this. A 6-issue subscription to the journal is $39.50, and to subscribe, go online to equip.org. Be sure you also tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Canagraff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. To hear previously recorded shows, go to our website at equip.org.